In September 2021, I went to a cocktail party. A book launch, the first since the COVID-19 lockdown began in March 2020. It was held outdoors at the Women's Art Association in Toronto. Founded in 1887 by women artists to support each other and to teach applied, fine, and performance arts in response to the Arts and Letters Club's policy of limiting membership to men. The club didn't open its doors to women members until 1985. It was organized by people who understood what it was like to be left out of powerful organizations, but who had enough power of their own to get something going for themselves. It felt wonderful to be out amongst people again after months of lockdown. Small groups of people, some masked, some not, all double vaxxed, befitting the latest protocol, formed, broke apart, and reformed, propelled by months of relative isolation, trying to get a feel once again for conversation and gossip and small talk. At one point, I found myself in a conversation that turned to back-to-school shopping. Talk meandered to school days and buying bags and backpacks and pencils and shoes and clothes. Against the backdrop of clinking glasses and trays of canapes, relaxing in the lovely gardens barely 50 feet from the busy and expensive Mink Mile shopping district along Bloor Street, the reminiscing contained both the warmth of nostalgia and the promise of new beginnings on an early September evening. But reminiscing doesn't always mean the good old days, and new beginnings aren't promising for everyone. I couldn't share in the nostalgia, and frankly, sometimes in conversations like these, I want to shut it down. There's an assumption that everyone shares in it, and they don't. I don't recall ever having a backpack. I carried my books to school in a grocery bag. I sometimes got cheap pencil crayons. Through all of my years of schooling, I never had the Laurentians I really wanted, as they were too expensive. I remember, as a child, going to the mall at the beginning of school to get exactly one outfit, knowing that this and a few clothes at Christmas were all I was likely to get the entire year. The latest Jordache jeans? I could only dream. Friends would go to Jerry's to get discounted name brand Lee's and Levi's. I only ever went once, and the feeling that I, too, could buy what everyone else did was a treat. When I did shop, it was at the cheapest bargain stores. While the discussion of beloved brands and back-to-school shopping brought back fond memories for the group at the cocktail party, for me it triggered memories of what it was like to want. Of my schoolmates telling me that I smelled. My clothes hadn't been washed because there was either no change to feed the washing machines in the basement laundry room in our apartment building, or because we'd run out of detergent and couldn't afford to buy anymore. We moved 14 times during my childhood, often to small brick buildings, the sort you still see around town, gathered in clusters on main streets, tucked into residential neighborhoods filled with post-war bungalows, near railroad tracks or strip malls, windows curtained with flags and tinfoil and old flowered sheets. During the pandemic, driving by these apartments, many without balconies, I'd think about the families inside. Families with kids doing their best to keep body and soul and mind together. I had lived in those apartments myself as a child, the kind of apartment to which your parents move when they're poor, when there's little affordable or government-subsidized housing, where the living areas were small, the television loud, and the bathroom the only place you might find a bit of privacy. With no balconies, they felt claustrophobic. To escape, we'd gather outside to play in the yard or hang out on the stairs leading into the building. With no elevators, tenants would haul their groceries up three flights of stairs through halls smelling of fried onions and stale cigarette smoke.